Welcome to BFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. I want to encourage you as you're driving on the roadways, as you're working at your workplace, as you are doing what you do on a daily basis, taking care of the family, to just sit back, relax. When you pray, don't close your eyes. You're driving. You're on the subway. Only close them for a limited amount of time. We're here to encourage you, to inspire you. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. I mean, I was just watching some of the things taking place with Hurricane Sandy, and they're debating whether we should rebuild or not, and they're talking about like a $6 trillion seawall out there, you know, to be able to stop it, the tides from coming in, and it's like, this one man goes, that's a lot of force to be able to stop, and it'd be a shame to waste all these $6 trillion or whatever it is to build. I mean, you can't control them. Can't control the ocean. Come on.
No, not at all.
And so,
ask New Orleans.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt. The speaking about the trickle down theory, those guys, man, just a little bit of rain without those pumps, they trickle down. The waters, the streets just flood, in a major way. But yeah, there. I mean, I was watching how. There are things. It just looks like the hurricanes that we had in regards to the destruction. The people still needing. They're just beginning to bulldoze down all the houses, the what's left of the houses, and they're debating whether we rebuild or not. One man said that I will rebuild, but if it happens again, I'm out of here. You know, and he's hoping that one wouldn't come for 40 years. He hadn't listened to obviously VFN radio and the preparing for the perfect storm. It doesn't go well for New York. It looks like some of the things, one of the cities, it's going to be some things happening. But also, we don't remember them. If you haven't yet, you know, made an effort to give financially to the needs of those that are, it's just a huge area that's affected. Now, I encourage you to go to operationblessing.org, you know, and give. And Jody Harrington's leading that up in that area, or you can go to Samaritan Purse, you know, with Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, who is also doing significant things out there. And but I know that with Samaritan's Purse, when they leave that home and that family, they leave them with a Bible, they leave them and praying for them and trying to build a relationship. And I'm sure, you know, Jody does that as well with Operation Blessing. But don't let this time, this season go by. Listen, there's a lot of things that are going to be happening in the world. And if disaster hits your city next, you want to already have in your heart a time when you saw others in need and you gave to them.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, obviously we know what the hurricane is like, you know, and living in the Gulf Coast region. And you just want to give and realize that, you know, you reap what you sow. And
absolutely.
If God sees that you cared about others when they were in a time of need, you know, you have the greatest chance for others caring about you in the time of need.
Yeah. Well, the New York Times is reporting that there's still a lot of people that are homeless, and now they're putting them in hotels in Manhattan, $300 a night hotels. I think FEMA supposedly is allegedly picking up the bill for. But this is a big deal. You have 47,000 people that were homeless already. New York is the highest homeless rate. And you have a lot of people that were totally displaced. And they share about one account about a family whose entire apartment was completely flooded. And they moved since then, I think 3 or 4 times from shelter to hotel. Just your heart just goes out to them. And so.
Oh, yeah, it does. We'll remember them on our prayers. And it's as simple as giving, you know, $25. Give $50. You understand that if you know, 100,000 of us are giving, you know, $25, that's significant, you know? And think about, you know, until they recover, think about, you know, for the next 6 months or something, you know, focus your prayers and your support. And those that are in that area, you know, stand up, and maybe that's where they'll send their gifts to you, for you to be able to go out and specifically invest it into those that have lost their homes and lost all their things. There's nothing worse. Realize everything's gone with something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's gone.
Sure.
Good memories, bad memories. Mm-hmm. And but it's just important to do. And based on, if you haven't yet gone to the VFN Torch and clicked on Preparing for the Perfect Storm, realize that they've been happening, but they're going to continue to happen. And mm-hmm. They're going to be scattered all over the place. And we don't know what city may be next.
That's right.
But there will be more based off of what the Lord was showing John Paul Jackson has been showing us. And, of course, if we repent, if the church repents, then you're looking at something that was stopped. So pray for the church to turn, you know, mm-hmm. back to God.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. You know, I was just talking with my son the other day, and you know, there was this period of time where I told him he wasn't allowed to play video games,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was good. I mean, it was a good experience for him, learning self control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I let him know, say, hey, you know, I think it's time. You know, you can start playing these games again. But again, I was saying you need to learn self control. I talked about mm-hmm. the word and what it says about self control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, and along with you know, many others. And I read the scripture to him. He's like, yeah, wow, that's good, that's good. And then it was amazing. The next day I read this scripture, and it says in Psalms 32, it says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. He says, but don't be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Wow.
And I'm just having this conversation with him, and then God's saying this the next day, and I'm thinking about it. And you think about a horse or a mule, you know, they're not going to do what you tell them.
Right.
You know, they got to be pulled around by a bit and a bridle. You know, they've got to be right. told to go this way or that way, or, you know.
Right. Mm.
And even before you can even do that, you have to be broken.
Right.
You know, there's a process to that. And, you know, and you think about, you know, before we got saved, you know, we were like these wild horses and mules that needed breaking.
Right.
And that's, you know, obviously we all were in that place.
Had to be forced to go in the right direction.
Had to be forced. Mm. Right.
Yeah. Somebody had to be your boss because you couldn't boss yourself.
Right. We had no self-control. But then God steps in, you know, and reveals his truth to you, and you surrender. You give it to him. And then we're no longer under this law, bit, bridle.
Mm-hmm.
And we live by the Spirit now.
Right.
You know, Holy Spirit's our guide. He's the one. We listen to God's voice. But the only way we're going to walk in the Spirit mm-hmm. is if we're abiding. We're spending time with him.
That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Self-control. Self-control, exactly. And so it really just really brought to light, you know, what the only way we're going to have self-control is if we're spending time with God, or we're going to have any other fruits of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness,
right.
you know, gentleness. And obviously self-control was the very last one.
So when you see somebody that's not gentle and they're a believer, says, have you been abiding lately? Have you spent some time?
You know, right. You could tell.
Take two journals in 6 weeks and call me.
Exactly.
That's right.
Call me in 6 weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, it was really cool.
That's very good. You know, that's yeah. very good, especially when you think also about, you know, James chapter 3. James is talking about that our tongue is that's a powerful force and that he talks about putting a bit in a horse's mouth
mm-hmm.
that you can control where it goes. And when our words will direct where we're going, what we say is what we'll become.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do like you're talking about, abiding with God,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden we start speaking the things of God, and then those things begin to happen in our life.
Yeah.
You know, our life mm-hmm. is steered by the words we choose to enunciate on our tongue that comes from the overflow of our heart, because it says Jesus said, the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever's coming out my mouth, I'm full of it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, I don't worry about it. That's just a moment. No, if that came out of their mouth, that means that their heart is full of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be full of, you know, what God says and abiding with him. Then all of a sudden we'll start saying what's right at that moment, and our body will follow.
Right.
Yeah. You think about the word also says that the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're abiding and we're being full of God's word and full of life, then we're actually speaking life. We're speaking God's word over a situation, over a person. Big difference. I've tried both.
Right, right.
Life and God's word seems to go better.
Absolutely.
Somebody says, you know, where are you going? Don't you want to go? Well, I'm going to spend some time with God. Well, you want me to spend some time with God.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, trust me. You want me to spend time with God. You know, I will see you in a little bit.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, that was very, very good. You know, Lord, help us and remind us. I was thinking about.
You remember I used to have that bit and that bridle hanging in my office. I used to have that to remind me.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So important, you know, because you want to be at the place where we can be self-governing, that at one point you don't have to have the bit. You don't have to have that hard restraint, but you should be at the point, you know, we should be at the point where we're just listening to God and self-correcting. When we speak something that's not, you know, of God or not right, we want to go back and own it, take responsibility. You know, ask for forgiveness, apologize, right. You know.
You think about it in that you don't even need a building once you obey God. But if you need a building if you have no fear of God, if you're not spending time with Him, you need fences. Mm. I mean, you have to stay there as a sheep in the fenced in area, mm-hmm. you know, because you have no self control. You have to be, you know, basically you're a servant. You're forced, but you have to be if you have no self control, because you're gonna get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
if you're abiding with God and obeying and spending time with Him, then the fear of the Lord keeps you.
That's right.
And you won't even need a building. You won't even need a building or an organization. Right. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. What a concept.
God really is enough.
Yeah, He is.
And I was thinking about that, you know, in Luke 9:18, it was talking about, you know, Peter's confession of Christ. And the word says that once when Jesus was praying in private and disciples were with Him, He asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?"
Mm-hmm.
And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, still some others, and one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." But verse 20, Jesus says, "What about you?" He asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And you know, I was thinking about that and thinking, you know, how important is it? You know, we're talking about abiding, it's kind of all just kind of blends together, but how important is it to Jesus, you know, He's asked, "Who do the crowd say?" Who the crowd say is one thing, but God is always interested in you. Who do you say that I am? And we're going to have a revelation of who God is when we actually spend time with Him and His word and abide and hear His voice. He's going to reveal Himself to us. And it's a journey. It's a process, you know. It's amazing that when I didn't know God before and He wasn't revealed to me, maybe He was the man upstairs. You know?
Co-pilot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, He's my co-pilot. Can you help me? I was like, I don't think you know Him. You know, there's no fear of God there. But once you receive Him and He's revealed to you, you know that He's so much more. Who is He personally to you? And Jesus goes on to say some other things, but I love His words. I mean, He said, "Listen, if anyone's going to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." Then he says this radical statement. "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his very self, his own soul?"
Right.
And you think about it, I mean, Jesus requires that we're recklessly abandoned to a relationship with Him. He is so worthy of that. And He says, "Look, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to come on this journey, in order for you to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself." Mm-hmm. And oftentimes what gets most people, and what's gotten me in trouble, is yourself. It's letting yourself rise above what God wants to do in your life. And you're fighting so hard to stay alive, and God's like, "Look, let it go. Let it go. Just follow me."
Mm.
And he says, you know, you can gain the whole world. What does it profit at the end if you try to live this life for yourself and try to attain all these things and try to do all this stuff, you acquire all this stuff? What is it going to profit you to gain everything that the world is chasing after? And at the very end, when it's all said and done, you lose your soul.
That'd be, yeah, it definitely would.
Maybe a huge shame. Mm-hmm. It's a huge shame. And God's saying, listen, just come after me. Let, you know, hopefully we're sharing in a wisdom moment. Let the main thing be the main thing. Focus on having a relationship with me. Abide with me. Hear my voice. Deny yourself so that you can actually live, so that you can really know what true life is all about.
Wow. That's totally awesome.
That's good.
It's a journey.
Yeah, it's a definite journey. Man, I don't want to be able to share about the time. Listen up.
You know, I do want to say this, that when I was in the United States Navy, mm-hmm. and I was young and the frontal lobe of my brain had not fully developed. I was still young. And I was standing watch one day. I was in Norfolk, mm-hmm. Norfolk, Virginia. And I was, it was cold. Oh, it was so cold. It's cold. Mm-hmm. I mean, you haven't seen cold. You've been on the water cold. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine the wind blowing across the water and your extremities are sticking out from your body, your ears and your nose and fingers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the wind's blowing. Somebody just thumps your ear. You feel like it would just shatter break off. You know, it was just cold. And I'm standing quarterdeck watch. And quarterdeck watch is, you know, that where the ship pulls up to a pier, then they have a brow, which is basically, imagine a board that goes from the ship to the pier. Well, it's actually a nice little bridge-looking thing that they lay down, and you can go up and on the boat. Mm-hmm. And so the quarterdeck watch stands watch right there to be able to determine who's coming on the boat and who's going off the boat. If the captain's coming on board, you have responsibility that, I forget how many bells, but you grab a bell, and for example, to say it's the USS Lexington. Mm-hmm. So you're standing watch on the quarterdeck for the Lexington, which was a carrier, is a carrier, but it's decommissioned now, and the captain is coming on board. And so your responsibility when you see the captain is you grab the bell and you ring it, ding, ding, and it echoes all over the boat, over the PA system, doom, doom, and then you say, USS Lexington arriving. And that means the captain just entered on the boat.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
And unless what I'm about to tell you is taking place. And so I'm freezing, man. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, everything's quiet. It's Norfolk. I imagine these big, huge ships all over the place. You know, we're just one little boat. What's the big deal, right?
Right.
And so it was just so, so cold. And nobody was moving. I couldn't find anybody anywhere. And I noticed the fan room. A fan room is sort of like your air conditioning, you know, where it sucks in the air or whatever like that and blows out certain air. Was the actual door of it was right there by the quarterdeck. And I thought, man, I wonder if, and I opened up this big hatch right there, this kind of hatch, mm-hmm. and I cracked it a little bit, and all of a sudden this warm air just started blowing.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness. This is so good. I'm sticking my hands in it. I got my back to the brow. I got my back to the place I'm watching. I'm doing my hands. And finally I said, listen, I'm going to open it all the way up. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to do that because it's supposed to be dark. Mm-hmm. You know, I got this big bright light. And so then, I'm getting the heat coming towards I turn around to my backside. I'm getting the heat. It's feeling so good. And then finally, I just kind of lean in some, you know, kind of basically sticking my butt in the room. It's so cold.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like, oh, this is so great. I'm thinking, man, it's already been 20 minutes. There ain't nothing happening. And besides, I can see the quarterdeck from this spot. I could go into the fan room and sit on this big pipe. I could see. It was right there. I mean, it was right smack dab there, right?
All right.
But there's one thing I didn't take into account.
Mm-hmm.
When I got warm and I'm sitting on this pipe, it's real good sleeping weather. I fell asleep. Oh no. My goodness. Is that not terrible?
Oh, no.
And this is worse. It's way worse because the captains don't come on the boat at 3 o'clock in the morning anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was at home with his wife or whatever. And the captain shows up.
Oh, no.
I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I was sleeping.
Yeah, right.
He sticks his head in the fan room and he starts waking me up like, oh my goodness, the captain.
Oh, no.
I got woke up by the captain of the boat, you know, and I'm sitting there sleeping in this fan room, you know. And but luckily, for my sake, that his wife just threw him out of his house. He was angry with him. He must have done something wrong. And he didn't. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I had mercy that night.
Oh, wow.
He was more upset at what had happened. And so it makes me think about this. It makes me think about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, and he was there and he asked his disciples to watch and pray. I'm going to go and spend time with the Father. And he comes back. When he comes back the first time, you know, all these powerful men of God, they were crashed out. They were asleep in the fan room, you know.
Oh, no.
They were asleep in the fan room.
Right.
And he comes back to him. He says, listen, couldn't you stay awake 1 hour?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of them said, I told Peter to keep us awake if we fall asleep. You know, and sometimes it's like the hardest thing you're going to do as the day gets closer is to stay awake, on watch, and prayer, and alert. The American church is really, the predominant part of the church is a sleeping church. I'm excited for the day that it awakes.
Wakes up, yeah.
But it's going, you know, it's just thinking, you know, it's like, wake up! You know, you're sleeping in the fan room. And so Jesus says, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Mm. And you think about it, when you're trying to encourage people to pray and teach them, it's like, oh, I have to pray longer than 5 minutes. It's like, dude, if you have a relationship with somebody, you're going to talk longer to them than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was anguishing for mankind. And the disciples didn't stay awake. And this is what he tells us. He tells us in Matthew chapter 26, I believe it is, 41, he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I just want to encourage you that, you know, when you're called to stand watch, and everyone is who's a believer, to be the watchman on the wall, to hear what God's saying and let other people know that many things are going to come your way. You're going to be, your flesh is going to be screaming. It's cold. It's miserable. It's hard. It's all these different things are taking place. But then in that very moment, you have to remember that who's going to stand the watch? Who's going to be faithful? Who are going to be the faithful ones that warn God's people? He says, when I fashion a storm and I'm bringing the sword against my people, if you don't warn them, Ezekiel 17, if you don't warn them, he says, they will suffer for their own sins and they will die because of it. He says, but you will have their blood on your hands.
If you're a believer today and you say, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, say so you're tired of sitting. You want to get in the game. You want to do something for God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU. VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, .org, and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religions made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. Right. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed God. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you.
Well, you know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFN TV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and I know you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFN TV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFN TV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series.
Mm-hmm.
And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, mm-hmm. which also original intent and
right.
Wisdom moments and
prophetic words.
Prophetic words. Mm-hmm. And those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetized. But then at the bottom, you can choose live. Like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's VVictor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom, and we need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other, and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king as his kingdom and the safety of his people.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain
right.
this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to mm-hmm. being the church instead mm-hmm. of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation
right.
that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
mm-hmm.
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums yep. weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was
right.
it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back, seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And
right.
he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today,
right.
what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began mm-hmm. to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat and John.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, you know, it's time. It's time for the VFN Torch Top 3. And we love sharing these. The first one I wanted to share with you is, united we stand, divided we fall. You know, in Matthew 12, 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said, every kingdom against itself will be ruined, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And Jesus was talking plainly. He was talking plainly about unity, even though he never mentioned the word. And you think about it, many today are divided. They're divided in their families and in their marriages and in their cities and a nation. Even the church can be divided. But my goodness, listen, we can't be ignorant of the enemy's lies, his schemes, and his attempts to even bring a wedge to divide. And he uses all types of tools like pride and jealousy and envy and all of that to do his dirty work. And our focal point and our main objective is to have unity in the Lord. We need to be a people that walk in humility and in love, and to keep the unity of the brethren, to keep unity in the home, because the enemy just comes as one to divide and conquer. So do you want to remember, united we stand and divided we fall.
This is from the top three. And so when somebody says divide and conquer, they're really repeating the words of Jesus. The way that you can win a battle against an individual, a marriage, a nation, is to divide it. You think about, you know, prophetically, that, you know, if we divide Israel, then God would divide America. Well, look, even though we truly believe it's going to be a physical splitting taking place around the Mississippi as well, but we already are divided. We're 50-50. Mm-hmm. The vote was 50-50 in the presidency. Marriage, 50% of marriages are ending in divorce. I mean, think about it. We're already split right down the middle. And those words are true, aren't they?
Yeah.
So if we don't deal with division, then we will be destroyed. We don't conquer the things that divide us.
That's right.
Wow, that's good. That's pretty good.
The second one is, get value-based vision management, a way to manage your life. And this is so, so important, because, you know, we talked about in the segment that we receive so much information in a day, you know, and today that our grandparents possibly have never received in their whole lifetime. I mean, if you think about all the access and the news and the internet and just all the iPads and the tablets, we're inundated with information. And it's coming to a point where we need to cut all that information down to what matters most. And, you know, much of the church is saying these days that they don't even have time to abide with God. I mean, I'm talking about at large. You have only 19%, according to George Barna, actually spending time with the Lord, and only 3% feel that they're actually personally responsible for their own spiritual development. And yet, it was God who gave them the job. You know what I'm saying? Right, it was God who gave them the house. It was God that gave them all the stuff that they have. And it's like, wait a minute. We can't spend time with the Lord? What has come inside that is now more important? And the truth is that you can't manage time. All you can do is manage your vision.
Yeah.
Right.
Manage the events in your life and the direction that you're going. That's so good, you know, because it makes you want to, there's so many things that you're talking about and that segment talks about that how do you, the enemy, you can get so much, so blessed, so much, so many things can come to you that it can destroy you.
That's right.
That you have to find out, you know, and through that segment and even segments on VFN TV that you can watch some teachings, that you got to find out, like you're saying, John, what matters most, because you're going to have to say no to a lot of good things.
Yeah.
You know,
and oftentimes what's happening with a lot of people is that what matters least is it's overtaking the things that matter most. Is like, you know,
they say the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and normally that doesn't mean that that's valuable, the most valuable thing, and it's that what God's called you to do. And the thing about it, when you move in God's purpose for your life, when you move in what matters most, every day will end, even though you may be tired and worn out and you may be suffering because of things that have happened during that, you're not checked in your spirit. You feel like you're on the right track. You're on the right field. You're on the right team. You're on the right side. And so, but if you don't know your values and you don't know the vision, because without vision, people are destroyed, then you can be tired and worn out, but still feel like, what did I do?
Exactly.
What's really happening? What happened to that year?
Right.
And that's an awesome site, value-based vision management. These top three now, you can get these on the VFN Torch, right?
VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com. Mm-hmm. And you can click on the torch. They're all available for you. And we love sharing these. And the last one I want to talk about today is learning to repent. And that was a really powerful segment because, listen, this is what's happening on the face of the earth and what's happening in America alone. I mean, it's clue enough for us to recognize that, you know, it's going to take a while here to learn to repent and make it right. And there are a lot of people that are praying. How many people are actually repenting? There is a difference. You know, it's this godly sorrow that works repentance. A lot of people are sorrowful that things happened and sorrowful. But it's like, okay, it's godly sorrow that causes us to say, I want to get this out of my life. It's not this person's problem. It's not that person's problem. What they did to me. At some point, we have to take the responsibility for our own spiritual condition. And where we are.
That's so important, because if you have repented, you don't have to tell anybody you've repented. They're looking at you. You're doing things differently now.
They should see it.
You can see repentance.
Yeah.
So if somebody says, you know, is wondering, did you repent? You got to ask yourself, have I really repented yet? Because they should see repentance in my life. Mm-hmm. That's an important segment. Very important segment.
Yeah.
You know, vocabulary gets taken over by the enemy quite often, and we just change the name of it. You know.
Mm.
We say evil, or we say, I don't know what the word they did. Instead of saying Al-Qaeda, they replaced the word with insurgents or something. I don't know what the word they used.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole big things going on right now in America and in D.C. Is that somebody changed a few words.
And misspoke.
Yeah. Misspoke, you know, when the intelligence briefing about Benghazi. But that's what happens in the church, that somebody changes and all of a sudden repentance no longer means repentance anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is the message that was preached in the first of the church, and what Jesus was saying and what Peter, the awesome message, first message he preached was repent and be baptized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And John the Baptist is saying, show good works, improving your repentance. Don't steal anymore. Don't take any more taxes. You know, don't do this stuff to these people. There should be a considerable difference from what was to what is.
And he says the axe is already laid at the root. So that kind of breaks all doctrines that says that an axe will never hit your root if you say a prayer but you don't repent.
Right.
That's right.
Because repentance is a proof positive that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because you can't do it outside of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So when you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and you begin to abide with him, he empowers you to leave that life of sin. But you can't leave it without knowing God and having a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let me tell you, repentance is a great thing. I mean, while we're still talking about this, is, you know, it's only a religious spirit that makes it seem like it's this, you know, like a cloud of, oh, repentance. It's like, listen, it's a great thing. Wouldn't you want to know that if you're going the wrong way, that you would need to just turn so you can go on the right way? I mean,
that's the key to saving America, is a church repenting, by the way. I think it's very important. Share this with your friends. You know, go to Top 3 and the VFN Torch and share. You can share these with your friends. And just maybe it will become viral. Repentance will become viral and be all over. That'd be awesome.
Right.
Yeah, we can start. Well, that's your Top 3, VFN Torch Top 3. Remember, you can find these always on the Torch. And you can go there by going to VFNTV.com and selecting Torch.
Cool.
And you know we want to share the wisdom moment, the moment of wisdom for the day. And the wisdom moment is found in Proverbs 21:21. And it says that he who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor.
Wow.
He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Kind of just fits it with exactly what we've been talking about in this whole program. Is that, you know, today people are pursuing many things, but in doing so, you know, they can they're pursuing many things, but in doing so, they may be expecting something that they're not necessarily going to get. You know what I mean? Just because you're going after something and you think that there's a desired expectation for a good thing to happen, you may not be happy what you're going to get with that. And the word pursue means to strive, to gain, to seek, to attain, or to accomplish. You're going after something. And you want to make sure that what you're going after in life is what really matters. And just in general, I mean, you look at what people are going after, and it's like anything to make me happy: relationships, careers, different lifestyles, adventure, money, status.
We think about it, you know, if you're climbing the ladder of success and you didn't take time to do what you're talking about, then you can get to the top of that ladder and find out that it was leaning against the wrong building.
That's right.
It was leaning against the wrong thing. It's a shame to do all that, climb all that ladder of success. It reminds me of Travis Krim. Remember Travis Krim? Yeah. He's climbing that ladder of success. You know, I played on the Alabama football team. I did golf. You know, let's do business. He's doing all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he gets to the top of it, and he was empty.
Mm-hmm. Empty.
He was empty. So many people, that's why you see these drastic changes in people's life. It says, why would they do that? It's because they found out their ladder was against the wrong wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by listening to what the word of wisdom is today.
Sure. Yeah. It's a proper application of knowledge. And you think about it. I mean, how many times have you taught someone this, and it's taken them sometimes 15 or 20 years? That's a tragic way. You can borrow the experience and not buy the experience. And how many marriages are ended that way? If the family's on one end of the building. And what's sad to say that maybe sometimes when people get to the very top of that building that they thought was success, they may not even want to come back down. And it's like, you gotta evaluate. You gotta evaluate. You gotta be willing to lose this thing that you thought was valuable for what really is valuable.
Right.
And you could even pursue what seemingly is a good thing, you know, a career, and that's a great thing. But any good thing that's put over a God thing is still a bad thing.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Period. I remember I used to say, you know, this is it. And it could have been it, but since I said, this is it, then God would take it away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Until one day I said, God is it.
Yes.
God is it. And then these other things are things that God's entrusting to me and blessing me with, but he's it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And think about it. And we talked about previously, in one of the segments here in the top three, is that there's so much information, so many things to run after. Listen, go after the things of God. It's real simple. I like what Mark Twain said. He says, not the things of scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the things that I do understand. Listen, going after the Lord is not as complicated as what others have made it out to be. He says, pursue righteousness. Pursue a right standing with God. Pursue a relationship with God. Let me tell you something. If you pursue having a relationship with the Lord, everything else in your life is going to work itself out. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Right? But you got to let the main thing be the main thing. Pursue righteousness and pursue love. How can that be wrong? Making God the focal point of your life, making love the focal point of your life. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And the thing about it, it's just about recognizing that, you know what, when I put first things first, my relationship with God, being a person that moves and operates in the love of God, because God is love, then says this is what you'll find. That's when you'll find life. That's when you'll find prosperity. And that's when you find honor. Listen, in all you're getting and all you're pursuing, if at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, they can say of your life, man, they had true life in God. They had the prosperity, you know, of God in their life. And it doesn't always necessarily mean money. And they lived a life of honor. I would say that's pretty good. That's a pretty good existence right there.
That is. It really is.
So we can remember that no matter what, and all the things that are out there, we can always keep it very, very simple. Make God the one thing, the main thing in your life. Having a right relationship with the Lord and love. The moment of wisdom today is found in Proverbs 21:21. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor.
That's so good. So good. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. I'm looking at this cartoon that Kathy had posted up on her Facebook, and it's so cool. Maybe you can make this available on the Torch. But these you got this turkey farm, and you have these one turkey's eating off the ground, and one turkey's got his suitcase packed up, and he's leaving. And this other turkey's watching him leaving. So he says to the turkey that's packed up and leaving, he says, "Listen, be reasonable. Be reasonable, Frank." And the turkey is walking away with the suitcase is Frank. He says, "Be reasonable, Frank. If he wanted us dead, why would he feed us so much?" And Frank answers, "Hey, believe what you want to believe. I'm out of here." Oh, that is so funny.
I saw someone on Facebook too. Someone posted, "I shot my first turkey. I shot my first turkey." He says, "But the people in the frozen section went ballistic on me."
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Oh, wow.
You know, thinking about Thanksgiving, I love this time of the year, you know, but I remember Thanksgiving when I didn't know God, and now that I know God is so different. You know, when I didn't know God, Thanksgiving was like, you know, turkey, you know, stuffing football, and just maybe getting together with friends and family. But I love this time of the year now since I've made the Lord, you know, God, the Lord of my life, my Savior, is to just reflect and to think back of all the Lord has done. I think that's so important. I mean, you know, we should do it daily and we should pray, but to pause and to recognize, if you have your family, you're sitting there, especially with your children, is to look back and always point to the things that the Lord has, not to take anything for granted. I mean, the fact that most Americans are going to be eating a feast, I mean, a feast to the point of just being overstuffed tomorrow while other people are going to be, you know, starving around the world. I mean, we have so much to be thankful about and so much that we're blessed about. We should really take the time to really just talk about it.
One way to do that is to act just everybody that, whether you're meeting with, you know, two or three or your family members, take a moment to say, you know, what are some things that you're thankful for, that you're grateful for?
Mm-hmm. Sure. The one thing we're doing with my sons tonight are going to, you know, all going to write, they're going to write it down, because Thanksgiving, they tend to forget that Thanksgiving Day, they're like, on my school. So they actually,
man, you're intense. They have to write it down.
They actually brought the idea to me.
Oh, so said, hey.
Oh, wow. That's good.
It's his idea. He says, "Dad, I think we should write it down because I don't remember so much." I'm like, you know, I think it's a great idea. Write just a couple things down so we can share it.
That's a really good idea. Think about it, that, you know, when you enter the presence of God, when he says, when you enter into the tabernacle, if you would, that mm-hmm. we always, the first thing we do is we enter with gratitude, mm-hmm. the gates of mm-hmm. thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, so often we're just guilty of the first thing we say to God is help or I need or stuff or ouch or pain, or instead of just saying, you know, I'm just grateful, God. Thank you for, you know, blessing me with health. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, my family, or, you know, you've given me a place to live. And, you know, thank you for, you know, and you should be grateful. And every prayer, by the way, should start off that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, gratitude. And when we talk about the abiding plan that you can get, it has in this card that you can print off and keep. It talks about the first thing you want to do. It's called the tabernacle prayer. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you want to do is just be thankful. It'll change your perspective. When you're trying to be angry or something, it's like, okay, I first got to get this gratitude out of the way. So yeah. I can complain to God. And by the time you're grateful, you're thinking, I'm not upset about anything, God. I'm just grateful.
Perspective helps a whole lot. You know, I say this often when people say, well, yeah, I have a hard time praying. Let me tell you something. just start off with thanking the Lord. And believe you me, you can pray up a storm. Just this overwhelming sense of gratitude. If he did nothing else, if he just stopped today, if he did nothing else, so worth it.
Well, you think about that. That so many people say, I don't have anything to be grateful for, and it's like you're not recognizing God. Then you're not recognizing the blessing of God. When you get up in the morning, first of all, you got up.
Mm-hmm.
So God gave you breath. He gave you life. The next thing, if you got off of a bed, you know, an actual bed, mm-hmm. that's wonderful, because there's many homeless people. There's people who don't have a bed, and you actually slept in one last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to the kitchen or the bathroom and turn on running water to brush your teeth or something, you have running water.
Mm-hmm.
Water comes out of a pipe that your community thought it worthwhile to invest on drilling a well, sticking a tube in the well, and creating pumps and towers and things to be able to put enough pressure for that to come in your house. You're still in your house. You didn't have to go to the creek or anything like that. You just went to a room, you turned on the faucet, and water came out of it. And not only did it come out, that when you finished using it, it went down the drain.
Yeah.
And it goes back out and goes into other piping system that your community decided to do, that God blessed your community, where it goes into some treatment plant, or it doesn't big, huge puddle of wastewater is not on your property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or in your drinking water.
Or your drinking water. I mean, that's just huge. That's right. What a huge, I mean, you haven't even brushed your teeth yet and you're grateful. And then, you know, of course, if you have to use the water closet, you know, you have all of that as well, that water coming in and water going out. I mean, plumbing is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. If you're going through what a lot of people are going through with Hurricane Sandy, and what we went through in past hurricanes, all of a sudden the plumbing stops.
Yeah.
And you're just like, man, I never even thought about how important having a bathroom that works is when you have a whole group of people. And, you know, things in life may stop, but seldom does your body function stop. You know, and that, you know, that's a gift.
Huge gift.
That's a gift. I think about Haiti, you know, when the United Nations worker dumped their raw sewage in their one river, and they had never had, this has never happened to them before, but the water that they drink got contaminated by those United Nations workers. They dumped raw sewage in their river water, and that's when they got, what was the outbreak of?
Cholera.
Cholera came from that situation right there, that we don't have cholera in our water.
That's right.
You know, we don't have, you know, plagues in our air. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to get certain immunization shots because God's eradicated it from our land.
Listen, one thing, think about all, I mean, we don't have rockets. We don't have rockets landing in our countries, in our cities right now. I mean, think about what's happening in Israel.
8,000 since 2001.
And we can walk and go to the groceries and do the things that we do in our communities without a fear in the world of a rocket just taking out someone. Right. And then think about, you know, I mean, from my own experiences, when I've lost things or things that, you know, they break and you realize, wow, I used this and even was thankful for it. We need to start being thankful now, not just when things go out and realize, oh my gosh, you know, I took all of this for granted.
Well, I just got out of bed. I just went to the bathroom. I haven't walked in any part or the other part of where I'm living at or where. Think about it, because you got nobody climbing in your windows trying to break into your house. It's possible because you have police authorities that are out there. I mean, there's so many things to be grateful for. And I guess just like Jared said, you know, maybe go to another nation for a while. Mm. You know, go to areas of the world that don't have what you have to realize that God, there's a lot to be grateful for and thankful for, you know, this Thanksgiving.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.